We continue our studies dealing with a few messages concerning the prophetic page regarding the church, Israel, and the nations of the earth. We've already taken up God's purpose and program for the church, a called out company of people, which God is doing today. And this runs from the resurrection of our Savior right through to the coming of the Lord for His own. And we've been dealing with the question of the nation Israel. And there are those who believe that God is through with that nation. However, when we come to the Word of God, we find that Israel is just as eternal as the new heavens and the new earth which God makes. We find this, of course, in Isaiah 66 and in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're discussing in our last lesson that Jerusalem is going to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be filled full. And the times of the Gentiles runs from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when he destroyed the city and the temple and took Judah into captivity, right through until the Lord returns for His own. We are still living in the days of the times of the Gentiles, and Jerusalem is trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be filled full. And although Jerusalem today, as I'm talking to you, Jerusalem today is for all practical purposes in the hands of the Jews, I would say it is yet still not their city, in that they can't do what they want to do. For example, they can't tear down the Mosque of Omar. They would have a holy war if they did that. They haven't yet built their temple, which they're going to do. And in God's own time, they will. But what I'm trying to get to you today is that the times of the Gentiles are still here. The fullness of the Gentiles, as spoken of in Romans 11:25, is the gathering out of a people for His name, namely the church. And we were discussing the question in closing our last lesson that the great subject of Old Testament prophecy is the day of the Lord. And I personally believe that the day of the Lord starts after the translation of the church of Christ. See, God today is not dealing with nations. I want to get this thing very clear in your mind. God is not today dealing with nations. He is dealing with individuals out of every nation under heaven, Jew or Gentile. God is taking those who will believe in His precious Son, accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. He not only forgives them their sins and makes them His children, gives them eternal life, but He brings them into a unity of believers, into a group called the church, which is the body of Christ. And when God is through gathering out this company called the church, He's again going to deal with His people, Israel. Now, we had that in Acts chapter 15, 13 to 18, where God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And after this, He's going to return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and build up the ruins thereof, that the rest of men might believe on Him, and so on. Now, I find, first of all, let me just suggest what the day of the Lord is, how it starts. We are not in the day of the Lord. That's yet to come. Because the day of the Lord starts in judgment, in wrath. The day of the Lord starts with the great tribulation period. A day when God is going to not only judge the nations of the earth, but God is going to judge Israel. As Paul could say, the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost, and they were scattered all over the earth, and have been for approximately over 1900 years. Now let me read you two or three passages concerning the day of the Lord, just to bring this one thing before you. Remember, the day of the Lord is the time when the Lord's going to reign in righteousness. A time when righteousness shall reign on the earth. At the present time, death reigns today. You know that. A baby is born into the world, the next thing you're sure of is death. Generations come and generations go. Death reigns today because of sin. Now, in the day of the Lord, in the kingdom of our Savior, and He's talking about a literal kingdom on earth, righteousness reigns. That's when the poor man shall have justice and so on, spoken of in Isaiah chapter 11. When you come to the new heavens and the new earth, we read that righteousness dwells. There'll be no death, there'll be no sin, there'll be no rebellion. Righteousness dwells. Everyone righteous in the presence of God. But that's the new heavens and the new earth. I'm going to make the statement again. The great subject of Old Testament prophecy is the day of the Lord. When does it start? It starts right after the church has been translated to the presence of our Savior. It starts in judgment. It starts in wrath. It's a day of darkness. Now listen to it. Now I'm reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2. The day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. A day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong people, they hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. It's a day of darkness, it's a day of gloominess, of clouds, of thick darkness. There never has been a time before like it. There will never be a time like it again. Allow me to read from the prophet Amos. Amos, chapter 5, 18 to 20. I read, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it to you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?" Let me read from the prophet Zephaniah. You remember Zephaniah in the first chapter. The great day, I'm reading verses 14, 15, and so on. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, and the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day, the day of the Lord, is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet. And he goes on to speak of it. And then in the last verse of the chapter, he continues, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. For the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." In the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Now, to pick up the connection of Daniel, you remember that in chapter 11, he's been dealing with the time of the great tribulation, or toward the end of it, where you have the king of the north and the king of the south and the manifestation of the willful king, the Antichrist. And he goes on, he says, At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, our Lord Jesus spoke of this. Allow me to speak of them in Matthew chapter 24, where we have the predictions of the king. And you remember in that passage, the Lord has been speaking about the time of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And then I read in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And then verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, you'll notice the coming of the Lord to the earth to set up his kingdom. comes immediately after this great time of the judgments and wrath and tribulation spoken of. What I'm just trying to get to your heart is this fact, that the day of the Lord starts in judgment. It starts in wrath. It's a day of gloominess. It's a day of terror. And friend, allow me to inject here from Revelation chapter 5, running right through to chapter 19, you have this time of the great tribulation of the judgments of God upon men. And you have no place in those chapters between chapter 4 and chapter 19 when the judgments of God are poured out. There's no mention made of the church of Christ. The Lord's people will not be on the earth at that time. As I said here in one of the preceding lessons, it's a rather an amazing thing that in the upper room discourse when our Lord is giving his final words to his disciples in chapters 13 through 17 of John's Gospel, where he takes up a great many wonderful truths concerning our union with him and the indwelling spirit and so on, he never once mentions the fact of the church being in the tribulation. It's never even mentioned. Why, you say in John 16:33, it says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Yet, but that's because of the world. That's always true of any time. God's people do suffer certain measure of opposition and tribulation. But my friend, when I'm talking about the great tribulation, I'm not talking about that sort of a thing. I'm talking about the time when the judgments of God and the wrath of God shall be upon men, upon nations, and upon Israel. And after these things are over, that we find the devil is cast into the bottomless pit, into the abyss, until the kingdom is thrown, till the 1,000 years are finished. Then after that, you have the starting of eternity. But I want you to get in your mind this one thing. The day of the Lord starts in judgment, in wrath. It's a day of gloom. It's a day of darkness. There never has been a time like it before, and there never will be like it again. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. You know, it might be well for me to suggest this. The nation as such is going to be resurrected to go into the kingdom. Time would fail me, for example, to take up such passages as Ezekiel 37. It might be apropos for me to say this, in view of present world conditions. Here we find something that has never happened in 2,500 years. The Jewish people have come back to their own land. They have their own kismet, their own parliament. Now remember, when they came out of Egypt, they were a theocracy. God was their king. And then you have the time of the judges. It's followed by the time of the kings. Then they were ruled by the priests, right through until our Lord came. Then through the centuries, the rabbis have been the leaders of the people as they've been scattered. Now they're back in their land with a kismet, with a parliament. And the next thing on the program for God concerning Israel, right back to a theocracy, when God will be recognized as their king. I tell you, friend, you can just see the whole cycle of how God has been dealing with the nation. First of all, a theocracy, then ruled by judges under God. And then you have the time of the kings, and the time of the priests, and then the time of the rabbinical teachers, back to now to the parliament. And the next thing on the scene is a theocracy, where the Lord himself shall come. In Romans chapter 11, verse 26, I read, "And so all Israel shall be saved. And I will take away their sins," and so on. "I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel." You mean tell me that every Jew is going to be saved? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. In this time of tribulation of which I've been speaking, 2/3 of the Jews are going to be cut off. I'll have occasion to mention this later, possibly. In Zechariah chapter 13, he's going to cut 2/3 of them off. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 20, he's going to purge out of her rebels. Remember, Israel has gone back to her land in unbelief. There are very few in Israel today who are looking for the coming of their Messiah. Their hope is built upon Zionism, nationalism. There are those, thank God, there is the godly remnant, even in the land of Palestine today, who are there because they're waiting for the coming of their Messiah. I know that. I remember driving north from Tel Aviv up to Haifa, and the Jewish man who was driving us, I said to him, "Jacob, are you looking for the coming of the Messiah?" He said, of course, why do you think I'm in the land? We've come here expecting the coming of the Messiah." You see, there are those there whose hearts are looking for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, some of their own rabbis, even in Jerusalem, while I'm talking to you, are trembling because, as one of them said, the time is not far away when we're going to suffer as a nation with terrible tribulation, according to the prophets. My friend, even they see this. Rather strange that some Christians don't see it. There's a terrible time coming in store for Israel, when God will purge out of the nation her rebels, and so all Israel shall be saved. When the Lord comes, the only ones who will be left on the earth among Israel are those of the godly remnant. As Paul could see in Romans 11, there is at this present time a remnant according to the election of grace. In Isaiah chapter 26, 19 to 21, you have it again. I mentioned this in one of the other messages with respect to the fact, with their dead body shall they rise. Come, my people, enter within your gates until the indignation be past, because the Most High ruleth over the... He's coming forth to rule over the nations of the earth. An amazing passage where we speak of the coming of the Lord. I'm trying to find that passage while I'm talking to you. Behold, the Lord... I'll give you the 20th verse. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Now, what did you talk about the indignation? Well, the next verse explains it. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And in that day the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish the Leviathan, the piercing serpent, so forth and so on. Here you have the remnant being saved. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, in the first 5 verses, by the way, the first time in the Bible where the Lord speaks of his return to the earth. In Deuteronomy, chapter 30, the first 5 verses, he's going to regather all his people. Wherever they are, from the north, east, south, or west, he's going to gather them, and he's going to bring them back into the land, and he's going to return, and he's going to be a real blessing to them. See, when all these things that come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and he will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out to the uttermost part of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. An amazing thing. And one could go into the prophet Zechariah and Amos, Hosea, and so forth. We have so much of it. But first of all, before that takes place, there's going to be a time of the purging of Israel. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 6 to 7, it's a time known as the time of Jacob's trouble, a time when God is going to come down and undertake purge out of Israel every one of her rebels. It's going to be a time of real trouble for Israel. I'll tell you, when you read it, my friend, your heart bleeds with what God is going to do as he cuts out the rebel, the unbelieving Jew. Why? Because the unbelieving Jew is going to make a league with Antichrist. And as I see the nation going back to the land of Israel today, as I see it surrounded by all her enemies, I wonder how far off it is when God will deliver Israel. Remember that Israel is going to be delivered when she cries unto her God. The Lord is not going to come to the earth until Israel calls for her, calls for him. We'll take this up in our next lesson, but I want this very clearly understood. This is what God is going to do for Israel. And as I see the conditions on the earth today, as I see the nations more and more turning against Israel, the more sure I am of the coming of the Lord for his own. And I close with that verse for you who love the Savior in Hebrews 10:37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." And we would say with John the Apostle, "Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus."